Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. You know, most of us can relate to being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And if it isn't for ourselves, it is for someone that we love. And the woman in our gospel feels that way. And she's living in a time when, despite their best efforts, doctors did more harm than good. And we're introduced to her as she pushes through a crowd in search of healing by touching the hem of Jesus' robe. And we can also imagine the desperation and the fear of Jairus as his daughter is sick and close to death. And just as Jesus agrees to help and to travel to Jairus' home, this unknown woman interrupts Jesus and distracts him, stalling Jesus from going to the little girl while she, this woman, receives healing. Now, in both circumstances, with the little girl and with the unknown woman, Jesus treats them equally with compassion. He heals them, one immediately and one as soon as he can. Jesus gives life back to Jairus' daughter, the child of wealth and position, and he restores back to life the woman shunned from society because her illness makes her unclean. The young girl was given the opportunity to live, to grow up, and possibly give life herself through her future relationships and someday through giving birth. And the woman was also given life, the opportunity to live within her community and to no longer be shunned by purity and cleanliness laws. And she too was given the possibility to give life through her relationships and maybe through giving birth. In that time and place, daughters, though loved, had less value than sons. And women also were limited in power and control over what their lives would entail. And the girl and the woman were from opposite ends of the social structure, and both suffered from being considered less than. Like I said, the girl privileged from her father's status and his position in the temple and the wealth that came from that. And then on the other side, the woman who isn't privileged. She has suffered from a bleeding condition for so long that she spent all her money and ended up worse off. And her bleeding disorder caused her to be considered ritually unclean and impure. And everyone she encountered avoided her to prevent becoming unclean as well. You know, back then, the purity laws of the ancient Israelites made interacting with blood, menstruating women, and touching a dead body taboo as something to fear and avoid. So in addition to the physical suffering was all the emotional suffering of being an outsider, of living in isolation and being avoided. And there was shame for interacting with the bleeding woman and rules against touching the dead little girl. Anyone who interacted with them would also be considered unclean and would be excluded from society and from temple life. Jesus, he ignores the taboos around touching blood and dead bodies for the sake of restoring both the woman and the little girl. And through his touch, he heals their bodies and restores their place in their families and in society. Jesus risked becoming unclean himself by interacting with them. Over and over again, Jesus chooses compassion over legalism. He practices mercy by looking past position, power, money, cleanliness rules, and social norms to do what is most important. He heals. Jesus's touch heals them of their illness and their hopelessness and exclusion, and he restores their body as well as their place in the community. Like I said with the kids, though, both these miracles required some action on the part of the woman and the girl to reach out and take the risk to ask for help. And the father, out of desperation, falls on his knees and begs for healing from Jesus. The father being a temple authority, and Jesus being this unapproved traveling teacher who had a reputation for causing problems with the religious establishment with whom Jairus was a part of. He hoped that Jesus could heal his daughter. And the woman, also out of desperation, risks breaking the law by exposing a whole crowd of people to her ritual impurity and pushes through not to ask Jesus for healing, but just to touch the hem of his garment. She knew that Jesus would heal her. So we have the powerful and the powerless, the father of high esteem and the woman shunned, both reaching out to him for healing. And Jesus, again, defies the social conventions of who qualifies for healing, of who deserves to be helped, and he helps them both. Now, Jesus's touching a bleeding woman and a dead girl was scandalous. He looked past the social and religious policies and chose to be compassionate. Because for Jesus, there isn't a religious or social convention that is more important than compassion, than love. Jesus' commitment to do God's will, to love all, extends, as he tells us, to the least of these, those considered not as valuable. And Jesus responds to the request for healing, and he restores them back to life. God sees value and life in needy, less than broken lives, where those in power only see death and avoidance. And these two miracles are about how health and hope and about how life can be restored through contact with Jesus, because God always sees life even in hopeless situations. You know, the greatest miracle ever was when God raised Jesus from the dead, when God resurrected Jesus, when God gave him life again. And isn't that what all miracles do? They give life somehow again. So Jesus tells the little girl to get up. And in Greek, the word for get up or wake up or stand up is the same word for resurrection. The resurrection of the little girl and the healing of the woman demonstrate the power of God to heal and to restore and to bring life to the dead. Well, how can we act like Jesus and push past our hesitations, our social conventions, or even just our preferences and love those on the margin? How do we reach out to God so that through us, Jesus can heal and give life? As followers of Jesus, we're called to get up, to stand up, and to bring life to each other, especially those who are considered the least of society. These two miracles demonstrate that God's love goes beyond all religious norms and all social policies. God's love is inclusive. Everyone qualifies for God's love and healing, no matter what anyone says or uses to make them less than. Even we can ask God for healing and to be restored. Now, here's the really hard part. Miracles may not turn out exactly the way we imagine. Healing may not be exactly what we prayed for, because prayer isn't about getting God to do what we want and give us what we think is best for us. Prayer is to bring us closer to God and to trust God and to do God's will, not to get God to do ours. As one pastor said about his prayers, God's mind may or may not be changed, but my mind and heart may be. So we have two miracles this morning that demonstrate the power of reaching out and asking Jesus for help. And Jesus healed and restored them both. You know, all of us, we are all wounded and bleeding somehow in our body or in our heart, our mind or soul. We all have something that needs healing or feels like it's about to die. So we too can reach out and pray to God for restoration. So what do we or our community need to be healed? What fear do we need to let go of, or social norm or rule do we need to re-examine so that in the name of Jesus we can bring healing and restore life to all we encounter? You know, what is getting in the way of us loving others and bringing life to everyone around us, especially those that are considered less than? You know, we do not have purity laws today about not touching blood and dead bodies, but we certainly do have systems that establish who is an insider and who is an outsider. And we live in a world with inequality, unfair treatment, suffering, deprivation, and assumptions about who should get what and who shouldn't. Jesus acted against this kind of worldview in the first century. And as his representatives now, we are called to be like Jesus and to bring healing and hope in his name today. So let's all pray. Let's all reach out to Jesus and ask for the courage to do the work needed to bring his all-inclusive love and healing to our world. Amen.